entered access code 648568.
We have to understand God's love is concern for us and for mankind. And when we look at a lot of things happening in this world today, and a lot of concerns, but it's in God's hand. God knows what he's doing.
Yeah. I think what we have to do is we have to stop putting God in one category.
Yes.
Well, God is this, we just put him in that category. But he is in so many different categories.
I said that this morning. I don't know who heard it. He said to Moses, he said, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob only knew me by God Almighty.
Yes.
But didn't know me by Jehovah. See, some of us don't know him by Jehovah.
Wow.
We don't know him by his other characteristics.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Some of us know him as a healer, but they don't know him as a provider.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Some people don't even know that he'll fight for you.
That's right.
Oh, man. All the names, see, they only know him by the Almighty God.
Yeah.
They didn't know him by the name Jehovah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my goodness, a deliverer.
Yes, yes.
Call his name Jesus. Jesus means Savior.
Yes.
Because he came to save.
Yes.
His people from their sin. Behold, the Lamb of God. See, the different names is the different characteristics that came to take away the sins of the world.
Yeah.
See, we mimic God by our own intellect.
Yeah. Right.
And so, when things are going on, that's why he's immovable in circumstances. And so we're going to be more and more like him. Just like I said, just when the sun rises, we don't have all the light at once. And God wants us to look at that. Every time you see a sun rising, just that is your understanding of who he is. Because you may see the tip of it, and that's still light.
Mm-hmm.
You may see a quarter of it rise, but it's still light.
Yeah.
You may see half of the sun, it's still light. Yeah. But when you see the whole sun, that's full light.
Yeah.
And so we have, and he's arising in our lives, isn't he?
Yeah.
The darkness is fading away. He's rising more and more in our lives.
And he's polishing the roughness of the diamond, too.
Yes, he is.
A little.
Yes, he is. And he's the light, a diamond, you can see is brilliant in the light, ain't it?
Yes.
You can't see a diamond in the darkness, can you?
No.
Light reveals what's already there.
Yes.
Oh, man. Okay, let's get into this. Okay, where are we at now?
Well, that was a powerful rabbit trail.
And that was powerful because you know, a lot of times when our circumstances or difficult circumstances arise, we start questioning God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? And he wants you to always think about agape. Always think about agape. Never think about the other love.
Yes.
Filios love. God don't love like that. He's a copy. And so when you start, your mind start, if you're alone, your mind start playing tricks on you and all these things, you don't have a clear vision of his love. Because the Bible says perfect love casts out fear.
Sure does.
So when you begin to start, almost make a thought start going on in your mind about yourself, God, that's not even a clear picture of you, how God feels about you.
Yeah.
It's distorted.
Yes. Yeah.
You're beautiful. Oh, my goodness. Because he said everything that he created was very good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we have to stop doing that. And it's something that we have to learn. It's something that God is through his spirit, he's enabling us to see clearer. Right? Okay, where are we at now?
What exactly does this mean? Does this
all right. mean? Okay, go ahead, read, please. Okay, all right.
Someone else wants to read?
Okay. Does someone else read? I can read it. What exactly does this message mean? God is light. Obviously, the Apostle John expects us to think about this a bit. For he says, this is the sum of this is the meaning of all that Jesus came to do and to be. It is imperative that we understand this, for this is the meaning of the life of Jesus, whether it is his life lived or in history or the life he will live in us right now. It will all come out here. God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. Notice something else. John does not say light is God. It is. It is. God is light. You cannot reverse that. If it were light is God, then, of course, the Indians who greet the rising sun and warms outstretched and burnt incense to it are true worshipers of God, then we know it does not say light is God, but God is light. Now, a lot of this stuff here, what he's talking about, the Indians, sun worshipers and all this, there's a lot to that. They got it from the Jews. They understood when Jesus was, they always was buried with his feet toward the east. He just had an understanding of the resurrection, of being resurrected facing the sun. So they did everything about the sun. And some people, some different people, they took advantage of that and worshiping the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you see the picture of the Last Supper, Last Supper, when you see it, you really should see Jesus' back facing the sun. His face facing the sun. So you should have just seen his back, because when they ate the Passover, it had to be facing the sun because of the resurrection. So there's a lot of things that they did about the sun. I understand it about Malachi when Jesus, when he arrived, he will rise with hearing his wings. So there's a lot of things that they did about the sun, because they have the understanding about the resurrection. So when Jesus was in the tomb, his feet, he was buried, his feet facing the sun. So that's just a little history about that. All right. Okay, where are we at now?
That means that what light is,
I keep trying to scroll.
The last paragraph of that page. Yeah.
Could you read one?
Did you want to start there, or
what you just did, was that just a synopsis of those
paragraphs?
Yes,
it was just a synopsis.
That paragraph does not, no,
we need,
no,
we
this
need,
is different.
Yeah, we need to go on that.
That is that what light is on the physical plane, that? Yeah.
Okay, yes, sir. God is on every level of human experience.
Wow.
God is on every level of human experience. If you want to understand the character of God, then observe what light is, what light does, God does, what light accomplished, God can accomplish it in your life. Well then, what does light do? In this enlightened 20th century, we feel we have learned a great deal about light, much more than men knew 50 or 100 years ago. We have analyzed it, broke it down into a spectrum. We can take fractional parts of it and use them for various purposes. We have timed it, measured its speed. We know that it is the fastest thing known in the universe. We have managed to produce X-rays and laser beams, which do amazing and phenomenal things. But after all this, we have really learned nothing, essentially, new about light. This is the humiliating thing about it. We have not learned anything really important about it. The great functions of light are universally known and have been known ever since the beginning of history. In the earliest dawn of humanity, men experienced what light could do as equally and fully as modern men do today. We have not learned one thing of any real importance. Now, what does light do? Basically, it is threefold. First, the most characteristic thing about light, the thing we are enjoying at this very moment, and probably the first discoverable fact about light, is that light reveals.
Yeah.
I can see you because there is light in this room, and you are unfortunate enough to see me for the same reason. Light reveals. If there were no light, I could hear you, but I could not see you. Darkness conceals, but light reveals. So darkness conceals, light reveals.
Mm-hmm.
So God said, let there be light, because it was something that he wanted to reveal.
Yes, yes.
So that's why Jesus' life was the light of man, because he was revealing.
Wow.
His plan for man.
Yes.
A number of years ago, I visited the Grand Canyon for the first time. I was driving along with from Texas to Southern California, and on the way, I picked up two high school boys who were hitchhiking. This must have been 1960-something. On the spur of the moment, the three of us decided to leave Highway 66 and drive up to see the Grand Canyon. It was about 10:30 at night when we made our decision. And we knew we would have to spend the night somewhere. We were traveling on a very limited fund, for that is the way I traveled all the time in those days. We did not have money enough to stay in a motel, but since we had sleeping bags, we decided to drive up inside the park, find a place to sleep, and see the canyon in the morning. We arrived in the park long after midnight, and not knowing where the canyon was, we drove on into the park, found a wide spot in the road, pulled the car over, taking out our sleeping bags, we walked a few feet and to the trees, threw them down, and went to sleep. When we woke up in the morning, the sun was time, I woke first, rolled over, and to my astonishment, found that I had been sleeping with arm's length of the edge of the canyon. If I had rolled over in my sleep, I would have fallen over the edge of the 500-foot precipice. In the darkness, we have not seen it, but the light made it clear. That in turn made us grateful that we had not tried to go further from the car that night. This is the first function of light. It enables us to see things that have been there all the time, but which we could never see till the light shines.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Mm-hmm. So, there's a lot of gifts in us, right,
yeah,
that we can't see unless the light or is revealed to us.
To us. In the situation for them.
That's already there. Huh? Remember, it's the light of every man that comes into the world. So if he lights every man that comes into the world, so the light is there, but it's what? It's not revealed yet.
Yeah.
This is exactly what John means. God also does that. God reveals reality. God, through Christ, opens up the eyes of the heart, and life comes into focus, and we see clearly without distortion. It does not all happen in one amazing transformation. Often it is a gradual process, but we would not be able to take the full revelation at once.
Mm-hmm.
You know that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Our flesh couldn't take it.
No.
We wouldn't be able to contain it.
That's right.
Because it's to see the full revelation. That's why it has to be piece upon piece, line upon line, here a little, there a little, because if he gives you a full revelation, you'll be like,
you couldn't take it.
You couldn't take it.
It'll blow you away.
Yes, it'll blow you away. So I'm glad it's gradual. It's a gradual process.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
If he were to tell you all the things that you have to go through, all of you, Lord, I don't think so. But the purpose of God's entry into human hearts, there it is. But the purpose of God's entering into human hearts is that we might see reality, light revealed. And so does God. The enigmas of life will gradually unfold. The great mysteries will become clear. Illusions will be seen for what they are. Deceiving,
phantomata.
Okay, phantomata that disappear as the light shines upon them. This time of the year always makes me remember the days. You guys want to go into this? When I was entering college for the first time, that was a critical period in my life. Like so many young men facing college, I was not at all sure about what I was getting into. I had an outward appearance of confidence and the ability to handle anything that came, but within I had a deep sense of uncertainty. I was aware that I really did not know the ground rules of life. I pretended I didn't. I did, but I didn't. And inside I knew it. It was like trying to play a game when you didn't know the rules, but were trying to guess them as you went along. It was rough. I was baffled, and all young people are baffled by the great questions of life. What am I here for? What is it really all about? What really is worthwhile about life? And how do you tell? How do you fit death into this whole picture? How can I understand and control myself so as to handle rightly that what comes? The more I learn about life, the more thankful I became until I met Jesus Christ and began to understand the message of his life, the message revealed in his world, in his word, I'm sorry. Bit by bit, things began to come clear. First, the answers to some of the great issues. What is life all about? What happens after death? Where do you go from here? Then details began to filter through the fog, and little by little, things began much clearer. I confess to you that much remains, but I am no longer confused. The road ahead is clear. How many people felt that way?
Mm-hmm. I think all of us have. That's what we were just talking about earlier about the young people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. On the outside is confident, but inside?
Yes. You just go and play the game and make up the rules as you go.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It really doesn't know all about life. And it's you, they don't know what's all about life until they really get out there and start experiencing. And the thing about it, he says, it was still foggy and nothing came clear until he gave his life to Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Yeah. And I remember when I was in high school, I was getting bad grades. But when I gave my life to the Lord, I began to get good grades. And I began to see my true ability and that I can achieve. And one thing I had to do is I had to focus.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to settle myself down and read.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, a lot of young kids, they don't want to focus and they don't want to discipline themselves.
It takes discipline to read.
Mm-hmm. It takes discipline. And I didn't have a discipline. So, through Jesus Christ, God did that in my life, that he disciplined me, whereas, and he also said, listen, look at him. And he made me focus. Look at him.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, you used to hang with him. Remember, you used to do things he used to do. Do they care if you get bad grades? No.
So as you saying, you began to see things clearly.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Do they really care about you? No, they don't.
No.
Do they care if you get back there, you're gonna get in trouble? Are they in the trouble with you at home? No.
No. Right.
So I had to start. I began to see clearer as time went on, and after that, I made honor roll every time I had a report card. I made honor roll because the Lord began to reveal that, man, you have it. You're smart. You're knowledgeable. You just have to discipline yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to do the same thing. We have to discipline ourselves because it's ourselves that get in the way. I don't think people get in the way more than ourselves.
Mm-hmm. No, we live it ourselves. Yeah. We use that four-letter hyphenated word called can't.
I was reading in Moses, he took over because every time God told him to do something, he said, well, you know, I can't do it.
I'm
circumstances, layups. And he said it three times to God. He told him that three times. Every time God had him do something really great, well, how can I do it? I went to the elders and they listened to me. And now you want me to go to funeral? No, I'm a Pharaoh's beach.
Uh-huh.
Did you know the Lord, the first time God got angel with him, and Moses did it two other times, and God pressed past what he said.
Uh-huh.
See, sometimes God will press past what you say. He'll press past it. First, it was angry that Moses said he couldn't do it. And after that, Moses kept saying it. God acted like he didn't even hear it. Because he didn't even say nothing about what he said that he couldn't do. That's okay. We'll learn that.
Yeah,
all right? Moses will tell you that. He's going to be your spokesman. All right? Now, what I'm going to do is, he said, I'm going to tell you what to say to Aaron. Okay? You tell Aaron what to say, and then Aaron will speak for you. Does that make sense, Moses?
Yeah.
You see how God really made Moses look? Moses, it's kind of funny that you can tell Aaron everything, what I tell you, but you can't tell the people.
Oh, my.
That's a lesson, ain't it? That's a lesson, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, lesson. It's kind of funny. Moses, that you can tell Aaron everything I teach you to tell you to say, but you can't tell the elders.
You can't tell Pharaoh. But I think what he was also showing Moses, his ability that he could do it.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
His wisdom.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes,
it's kind of funny, Moses. That's what I'm saying. It's kind of funny, Moses.
Uh-huh.
Well, you can tell Aaron all this stuff. But when you get in front of, when I want you to go to the elders of Pharaoh, you can't say it. Look at your own ability.
Uh-huh.
You already say they're doing what I, and you can tell him that. I'm slow of speech.
Because
but see, here it is, though.
And his inadequacy.
Moses did not stop the will of God, did he?
No, he didn't.
Nope.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I know Aaron, okay? And, here's God. He's talking to Moses. He said, well, I know Aaron, your brother, that he can speak well. So God was paying attention of Aaron and Moses, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He knew the ability of Aaron, and he knew the ability of Moses,
didn't he? Both of them.
And then God turns around and said, you know what? I'm going to teach you both. So God was talking to Aaron and Moses at the same time. I'm glad these men are in here because it shows us that God's will, you can't turn his heart, you can't turn his will for your life by looking at your ability, because he will pass that. And you know what? And then he said, okay, I still want you to do it, but I'm going to send someone to help you do it. Then he sent Aaron to help Moses achieve what God had for his life. And then pretty soon Moses can speak on his own.
So
he was building up Moses' confidence.
Exactly. He could always speak on his own. And this paragraph on page 5 is saying exactly what you just talked about.
Wow.
It says that I only mentioned him because he was so well known. He was talking about Preston Johnson. He was saying, but many of us suffer from this. He was talking about his own inadequacy. Do we not? There is some undefinable, unknown factor in our problems that elude us. Can I get our finger on whatever it is that makes everything turn out so differently than we expect?
Yeah.
That always indicates that we, ourselves, are the problem. We need the light to shine upon the mystery of darkness in our own lives. That is what God does. God is light, and light reveals.
He didn't say to shine a light on nobody else.
No. Exactly.
He's supposed to shine a light on you. Your own life. God knows our inadequacies, doesn't
yes.
he? And he knows what to fix. He knows what to work on. He knows what to put in. He knows what to take out. So why should I, with my pride, tell God what he can work on and what he can't work on? And I think we do that. We know, God, I tell you what, don't work on my patience today because
I don't want the patience.
I am not in the mood today.
I don't have time today. I got to go home and cook. I got to go.
Don't work on my forgiveness today. Because I don't forgive anybody.
I don't feel like forgiving
anybody. Not today. It's not today. See, that's our pride.
Yes.
Talking.
Yeah.
Maragapi, not today. Talk about heroes. Work on that, but Maragapi.
Why he said he knows we'll be standing in need of before we even ask?
Exactly. And a lot of times we think that
it's not
something to eat, something to put on, or something to drive.
He knows what he needs to work on us, in our minds, in our hearts.
I know you need patience today. How come every time how come every time you late and in a hurry, it seems like you get behind the slowest driver? I see that. Lord, every time I'm in a hurry, it's like, you got 100 people getting fun. Well,
Are you learning something? Every time I go into a store, I get into the slowest line.
Yeah. Or, what's this? One time I think I'm good. I'm in a rush. The line opened up. One person in front of me. I said, I'm good.
Yes. Yeah.
All of a sudden, they pull out coupons, and they say, this is the right soda, or this is not the right thing, and we got to go back and go get the right item. And I said, I thought I was good. I thought I could just get in here and get out. This person here going to pull some coupons out, and then you didn't read the coupons. Pepsi, it ain't Coke. You picking up Coke. And then they say you buy three and you get two for free. You got two up there and it's the wrong stuff. And I'm like, Lord help me. And I'm looking at him like, I want to look him in the eyes so I can say, you're stupid. I want to please look at me so I can give you that look like you're losing it, you know. But, you know, that's what, and so God's working on me. He knows what I need. So he knows I need patience.
Uh-huh.
I need long suffering, right?
Uh-huh.
And I need mercy.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it's just that one thing.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not our patience, but through our patience, you need forgiveness.
Yes.
You need mercy. You need long suffering.
Uh-huh.
And God said, "Well, are you bleeding? So you never suffered anybody that hurt you, harmed you, to draw blood from you."
Yeah.
Oh yeah! Wow! You're right.
You're right.
So he wants us to be humble enough website to learn, because it says this, what it say here? His light is in what? Every something of life, it said. That. What was that?
Something
is alive. It's at the very top. It's at the very top. What was that? Man, that was. Okay. Or areas of our lives.
Yeah.
And we think sometimes it's just the good stuff. Why do we always think that light is in the good stuff all the time? That learning is just when we're in Bible study. Learning is not in different pressures or circumstances that we're supposed to learn. I think we have to start conditioning ourselves and say, you know, when Paul got thrown in prison, he was content, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. Mm-hmm. But he said he learned that.
He learned. He learned. Whatever state I'm in, to be content in it, because he learned that.
He learned it.
His life was in God's hand.
His life not only,
his life wasn't even his.
It was not only his. That, but with God reflecting his life the way it did, look how it affected so many people.
Yes.
You look at the life of, his life has affected so many people.
Yes. His perils. Look at all the perils that he can talk about, that he was thrown in the prison, he was beat and stolen and left for dead, he was shipwrecked, he was bitten by a serpent. All these things happened to Paul. And he was suffering.
Yeah.
But through his suffering, he was learning at the same time.
Yeah. And God was reflecting his light through him, because that light shone on so many people.
Yes.
Through history. Hundreds and hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
And it continues to this day.
Yes. So when people don't like you and they throw trash, is that good?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, because God said it is. Said that it's going to happen.
So we have to condition ourselves in that manner.
Do we condition ourselves?
This kind of puzzles me. It puzzles me. That God, it says that Christ, he grew in wisdom, and he grew with favor with God and favor with men. I said, well, God, I don't really get it. How he grow in favor with men, and then the ones that persecuted him and put him on a cross? How he grow in favor with men if men did that to him?
Because you said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me.
Mm-hmm.
Man, he had, that had to happen so that he could draw all men unto him.
See, and we have to, we can have favor with men, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it does not mean that we're not going to get any persecution from men.
That's right. That's right.
Huh?
Because you're not going to
get favor. He gave Joseph favor, but he gave him favor not when he was free, but also he gave him favor when he was in prison.
Too. Yeah, in prison.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Come on now. So,
yes.
So wherever we are, we have favor. So it doesn't mean it when difficult circumstances happen, we still have favor.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The Potiphar lied on Joseph. He put him in prison. He didn't say God got him out of prison.
Yeah.
See, God went him in prison.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But see, we'll think that it's bad. But God said it was good.
Mm-hmm.
See, because things happen in our lives, sometimes, I would say all the time, he wants us to see him in those times.
In the time. Yeah. Uh-huh.
See him in that circumstance. When we were in the storm, was Jesus on the ship?
Yeah.
So he was with them.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So when he was a storm, that means he was still with them. He didn't leave them. Did he jump out the boat, y'all on your own?
No.
He didn't. So when storms come in our lives and we think they're going to take us out, he's there.
Yeah. He's
going to
take us through it.
He's going to take us through it, or he will calm.
Overcome it, yeah.
The storm. And we're all in front, and why would we ask him that question? First of all, we see everything. You look back. Look at everything that I brought you through.
Okay.
Yeah, I see you, Lord.
Yeah.
You've been with me. Oh my goodness, I see you. Mm-hmm. You've done this. You always been there. So why would I forsake it now?
Mm-hmm.
And so. We always ask that question, Lord, do you care that we perish?
Yeah.
First of all, Jesus already knew the plan that he had for these men's lives.
Yeah.
He knows the plan that he has for your life.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
And then when a storm comes, we fear and we think it's going to take us out. But he's still there. He's there with them.
Yeah,
he went to Joseph. He went with the Lord. When he got father accused, he said, and the Lord went with him.
Uh-huh.
But see, that was a purpose for Joseph's life.
Yeah.
We have to understand that our children, our grandchildren, us, a husband, a wife, they're in God's hands.
Yes,
sir. And we have to trust him with our loved ones.
Yes, we do.
Lord, I trust you.
Yes,
I trust because I know it's a process. A process, and we have to accept the process. We're not going to have happy days and ice cream and cookies and grapes and all that all the time. No, it's some bitter herbs that we're going to have to eat sometimes.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It's some pressures that we have to go through sometimes.
Yeah.
But he's always there.
Yes, he is.
And we have to start understanding that if he's in us, he's always there. And so, this lesson is beautiful because it's speaking about the indwelling of him living in us and shining his light through us.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, as he shines his light through us in the world, he's always with. And at the same time, he's revealing who he is to us at the same time. Mm-hmm. All right, where are we at? What time is it?
8:24.
Any highlights?
You've already given out highlights.
It's not good. No. Go ahead. Anybody got something?
Well, the highlight is about light. You know, that it reveals.
Yes.
And that is the primary purpose of life is revelation. And I love the analogy that was given about the sun rise. Because like in the mornings when we have prayer in the mornings, I used to think that
Yeah.
And I would see the sun rise as we were praying. It was very beautiful to me. And so when you were saying that, I reflected back to that, how the Lord reveals, just like as slowly as the sun arises and starts to reveal, you know, what's for us, that's how slowly he's revealing his, because we can't take it all at one time.
Yes.
And so that he comes and he gives us revelation very slowly, very methodically, and consistently.
Mm-hmm.
All the time until he gets to the point where he'd be able to reveal everything, and then, you know, we will have a full understanding through the revelation. That's the primary purpose of light, is to reveal or revelation.
What the Lord really wants us to understand, that he's with you.
He's in us.
Mm-hmm. He's with you. In you. Wherever you go, he is with you, because
he's
always in you. He's living in you.
Mm-hmm.
Through your trials,
mm-hmm.
through everything that you go through, he's right there.
Yeah.
And he wants us to understand that. When you didn't know him, he knew you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
When you were self Christ, no, he already knew you. God already knew you. He just didn't reveal himself to you yet.
Yes.
Oh, man, he already knew you. He already knew Moses.
Yes, he did.
The Bible says the angel Lord appeared to Moses.
Uh-huh.
Uh-oh. Oh, let me go up here and see how come the... He didn't say to see God. Moses went up there to see how come the bush was burning,
but
it ain't burnt.
Yeah.
It ain't consumed.
Yeah, it wasn't consumed, yeah.
But the Lord said, Moses. Uh-huh.
Sure,
so the Lord knew him.
Yes.
Called him by his name. Was never introduced. This is God, this is Moses, Moses is God. No, God called Moses by his name. God already knew him.
Mm-hmm.
God already knows us.
Yeah.
No, it's when you said the word, you do the what? No, he already knows. He already knew Isaac, didn't he? He said, Isaac, hey, Tyson, King Melchizedek, when he was in his father's loins.
Mm-hmm.
So was God considering his, when he was in his loins, him being sperm, a human and alive then? Oh, my goodness. Huh? Did he already know Isaac?
Yeah.
He said he was in his loins already.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is, we limit God ability by our intellect.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to, no, well, God's bigger than that. I mean, you can't put him in a box. He's so high, he's so wide, you can't measure him. You can't measure his ability.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but anyway, I don't want to go on another rabbit trail.
There's a beautiful prayer as on the last page.
Okay, you guys want to? Okay. We'll go over this again.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord took us on a lot of bunny trails this evening.
But they were all necessary.
It says, when the rose in the morning found the world in darkness. Is that it?
No. On the last page, it's a prayer.
Okay.
On page 8,
okay,
there's the prayer.
You want to read it? You want to read it?
Okay.
So this is going to pray us out?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is prayer us out. Okay. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord.
Our Father, we ask that you will grant us the ability to walk in the light. You who are the great light, shining up on our darkened lives, break through the darkness and teach us how to become the kind of person
you intend us to be. You intended us to be. Responding to the light like plants seeking the sun, opening, unfolding, bearing fruit for your name's sake.